Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Charles Bray, Executive Chairman, and Simon Rollison, Director of Aterion. Welcome back, gents. Hope you're both well.
Yes. Thank you. Wonderful to be back.
So we just heard news that Aterion has entered into a definitive earning investment and joint venture agreement with Rio Tinto Mining and Exploration Limited and Kinunga Mining Limited. The agreement aims to explore and develop lithium and byproducts at the HCK joint venture project in Rwanda. Rio Tinto has the option to invest $7.5 million in two stages to earn a 75% interest in the license. And the project holds 19 identified pegmatite zones covering a 2,750-hectare area in southern Rwanda, benefiting from proximity to good infrastructure. This transformative deal showcases Aterion's ability to identify world-class deposits in critical minerals like lithium and highlights Rwanda's potential as a mining jurisdiction in the global electrification push. Charles and Simon, firstly, congratulations on securing the earning investment and joint venture agreement with Rio. Can you share with us how this partnership will benefit Aterion's long-term growth strategy and expansion into critical minerals, please?
Well, thank you, and happy to do that. As you know, and as you stated, we're a critical and strategic metals company. This, we believe, is the first of what we hope will be multiple partnerships that will allow us to bring those critical metals into production, into development. And so, and in particular with this, what we're particularly proud of is the nature of the country. Rwanda, we believe this is transformative for not only Aterion, but it's transformative as the country, which has primarily been thought of and reality been dealing with artisanal mining, now has the potential to become a site where you have one of the world's major mining companies making significant investment over the longer term to bring industrial scale to the country and as well to us as a company. I'll let Simon take it from there.
Well, no, that's right. Because, I mean, you know, we've spoken to you before about the lithium opportunity in Rwanda, and I think it's starting to hit the radar of a lot of exploration companies now that there is the potential for lithium in Rwanda. The ore bodies that you find there are typically these LCT, lithium, cesium, tantalum, pegmatites. But as Charles said, you know, historically it's been mainly an artisanal mining environment where they've only focused on the weathered material, and the opportunity for this lithium mineralization exists in the bedrock. So that's really what I think the likes of Rio are going to be looking for. And I think it's a great opportunity. And it's going to certainly, I think, change the perception of Rwanda as a mineral destination for companies going forwards.
Yeah, and you obviously alluded to and referenced the 19 identified pegmatite zones and obviously their significance in attracting such a major partner like Rio. I mean, what does this mean for Aterion shareholders?
I think the worst case scenario, we work with Rio Tinto to do some drilling and investigative work on the prospect, and we receive a significant amount of data. Yep. And with that data, we're highly confident that there's a good tantalum presence on the site, as well niobium, of course, so coltan. But it allows us in the worst case to have what we feel is very significant upside, and that we have the opportunity to develop a mine site, and that may be a coltan mining site. And I think that's really the worst case. I think in the best case, depending on the scale and the nature of the mineral discovery, it truly is transformative in the sense that it allows us to have the potential to partner with the world's second largest mining company. Mm-hmm. And to develop a site that's very significant. And again, I pass it over to Simon. He's better at speaking to these things than I am.
Yeah, look, I mean, you're right. We've identified the 19 sort of targets at present, but that doesn't mean to say that there's not more that can be identified with further prospecting. You know, they may just be blind to the surface. And so having the ability of someone like Rio come in with their in-house expertise and skill sets, you know, they'll be able to like generate better models and accelerate the exploration plans. But as it stands, we still have the one target, which we call the HCK1, which is a prominent ridgeline, which, be honest, is almost draw ready. So it gives them something to jump into straight away while they sort of bring on the other exploration program around the rest of the license.
And basically, the deal is they have to spend a certain amount of dollars to get the 51% over the first 2 years of this project. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So stage one is 3 million spend, or up to 3 million spend over 2 years, and that gives them the 51% earning, and then a further 4.5 million over possibly 3 years to take them up to 75%.
Okay, and what from a Rwanda perspective? Obviously, we've said this before in terms of the artisanal mining. Has there been artisanal mining for lithium within Rwanda before this?
There's been very small amounts. It's not really been a focus commodity. It's always been historically looking at the three T's, you know, the tin, tungsten, and the tantalum, and mining very much out of the weathered horizons. But in the last 18 months or so, you know, there's been reports of some lithium being identified in some fresh rock that some of the artisanals have tunneled into, and they've been pulling that out. And I think that's what sort of like flagging up this as a commodity that's maybe been overlooked in the past and want to target in Rwanda going forwards.
Yeah, and I suppose 10-20 years ago, what was lithium? It was not really that important.
No, I mean, it's really just the commodity that's hit the radar in the last sort of 5 years, I guess. And it's a bit like the resurgent in other critical metals and battery metals that's taken place over the last, say, 2 to 3 years, really. And that was the rationale that we used when we got into the acquisition last year of the Moroccan assets, because you know, those are predominantly copper focused.
And what would you say was the deciding factor that, you know, as you say, Rio Tinto, the second biggest mining company in the entire globe, would want to partner with little old you and go into Rwanda? It seems like this must be one hell of an opportunity, otherwise they wouldn't be bothering.
Well, absolutely right. Look, I mean, I think they see what we see as a new lithium province in Africa that's been completely overlooked. Obviously, they've spoken to us because for them to do the DD, it's a lot easier because we're a listed company and we're probably the only, well, I think we are the only listed explorer in Rwanda, and all the others are sort of small scale private companies. So probably a natural choice for them.
So is there a play for you to also go looking for more lithium as the sort of joint venture and agreement continues with them?
Yes, of course. You know, because the other thing that we've got going in Rwanda is the trading business that we're still sort of establishing and setting up. Through the process of securing supply chain for the trading arm of the business, we've been visiting numerous small-scale mines and operations around the country. And through that process, it allows us to identify where other opportunities exist, whether they be sort of tin veins or tantalum, potentially lithium-bearing pegmatites. So, you know, we're sort of building up the knowledge as we go. And of course, we'll always be looking for new opportunities. With this partnership with Rio, they'll be taking over the operations and the exploration, and it frees up our time in Rwanda to look for new opportunities. So, you know, we'd be silly not to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Charles, give us an idea how the trading arm is going then in Rwanda, because the last time we spoke, we were hoping to achieve certain goals by the end of this year. How is that looking?
It's on track. It's been delayed, and to be honest with you and your listeners, it's been delayed in large part because our focus has been on completing this transaction. That, I think, we could ascribe possibly 6 weeks, perhaps 2 months in terms of delay, but we're back on it now. So our COO is in country and is working hard. As Simon mentioned, we have developed relationships with multiple, and I'm, you know, tens of different mining companies that are local, that are artisanal, and we're just about to bring them online. In terms of acquisition of coltan. In order for us to do that, we wanted to establish a dedicated funding line. And so, you know, we just want to make it clear to the market that we're going to look to allocate capital from a third party that's dedicated to this particular type of business, which we believe is incredibly capital efficient. And so we're hopeful that by the end of August, that will be up and running.
Okay, so based on the current situation of a market cap of about £9.6 million and now a joint venture with Rio Tinto, and I think as we've discussed before, the trading side of things should validate that type of market capitalization. I mean, how do you feel you should be valued in terms of the whole situation once this has come to fruition?
I mean, I look at it and I see at the very, very minimum, the transaction with Rio Tinto, just assuming 75% for $7.5 million, is at the very least worth $10 million. That's rock bottom. If you then add to that the trading business, which we believe following the transaction with Rio Tinto also allows us to, let's say, partner and do transactions with larger groups and off-takers who we typically or would not have previously had access to, that we believe, again, adds in another, the same amount, another $10 million. And then looking at Morocco, where, I mean, Simon and his team have just been doing a great job, and I can't speak highly enough of what the geologists there are doing and how Simon's leading them. We have over 15 projects. And of those four that we have what I call focus on, all of those are highly prospective, again, to the energy transition metals. We think we can replicate similar sorts of transactions in Morocco as we've done in Rwanda. Actually, I believe it's an easier jurisdiction. And I don't, that's nothing, saying nothing negative about Rwanda. That is purely saying that the scale that's on offer in Morocco is multiples of that in Rwanda. And so we just can't see how this isn't very positive in the longer term for the shareholders. And we just now have to just keep pressing, and we're asking them to continue being patient and allowing us to realize some of this value that we have embedded in each one of these assets.
Yeah, I suppose the question, Simon, is when will the resource sector come to any sort of reasonable valuation? Because right now it's not there.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I can only really sort of speak for our own projects. And I think, you know, particularly the Moroccan ones that I've been focusing on the last couple of weeks while we're doing this transaction, they're looking very attractive. You know, we still hope to get some drilling done later in the year, sort of probably Q3 be the optimum time. It's always the case, isn't it? You can have the greatest of assets with the nicest of resources, but how do you get the value into the share price from that? And it's a very hard message to sort of to get out to people. And we've been trying that for a while. And I think maybe now there'll be recognition of what we're trying to achieve through the transaction that we've just completed with Rio. And then people will start to see, okay, well, you've done the deal with Rio. You've got superb opportunity in Morocco with some sort of really good sort of underlying exploration assets. How does that translate going forwards?
Yeah. So we're really not just talking about a bit of lithium in Rwanda and some copper in Morocco. We're talking about joint venture with Rio Tinto in Rwanda and potential for joint ventures in Morocco with another or whoever it happens to be. So, and on top of that, I think the thing I liked about this company more than anything else when I first started talking to you was the trading arm and the fact that the trading arm can effectively, hopefully in time to come, help the financials and the trading will finance some of this stuff going forward. Now, obviously, in Rwanda now, you haven't got anything to finance. I presume you're going to receive $200,000, are you, on the completion of this transaction, or is the end of phase one?
It's following the due diligence, the initial due diligence. So the outstanding requirement to have this transaction close is, one, to have lithium added to the exploration licenses. In that respect, we've had some communication from the Rwandan government that they understand and intend to permit that and are encouraged by this transaction overall. And also Rio Tinto kind of standard due diligence in terms of in-country on the various assets and licenses, et cetera. So we're hopeful that within the next 2 to 3 months, this will close and then we'll receive that 200,000 initial at that point. We're also, just to make it clear, we're also going to have the potential to earn a bit more, not a lot, but a bit more by including the other licenses and our projects we're working on there. And there we need to tick some boxes with respect to just what I call normal or standard licensing renewals and approvals. And so we're hopeful that will come along again in the near term.
Okay, very good. I think you've got a lot of stuff ahead of you. And yeah, on three fronts, it's it looks very exciting times over the next number of months. Initially, and then years as these things go to fruition.
No, we're very excited. And We're looking forward to updating you and your listeners and the rest of the market on the trading side as soon as possible.
Charles Bray and Simon Rollison of Aterion, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net